Well, I wanted to show a bit. Both of them are made with the seafood. Seafood is my major. It's what I like the most. Working with the fish and having this level of care is very nice for me.
I like it because it's fresh also. Because you really feel the freshness. Yeah. It's like the line between the from the supplier is really short. It's like even a matter of hours since it was taken out.
So it starts there, like to choosing the right supplier who is as passionate as you. So this is very important. Taking the fish has to be very fresh. So I decided to make this showcasing recipe of the striped bass. It's a kind of sea bass. Here in Mexico, we have some become some people who is making a great work with this kind of fish. It's very fleshy. It's a white fish, but even though it has a good fat quantity, right? It has a very fatty belly, especially in that part of the fish. So this recipe is based on a Peruvian dish, which is called tiradito. It's the same principles as a ceviche, but here the fish is sliced like sashimi, let's say, but thinner. So yeah, for this recipe, is basically you need the fresh fish, and we have the avocado sauce, coriander seeds, and cucumber ginger vinegar. You know, this kind of this part of the vinegars and ferments and everything is very important as well. And I think they make part of the essence of a restaurant. If you make your own vinegars, your own ferments, your own oils and everything, you add
so
this,
much
layer of identity
yeah.
in your dishes, right?
And it's healthy. Like vinegar takes down cholesterol. It regulates the insulin in the blood. So, guys, go out and make your fucking own vinegar. Like,
yeah, and I think it's very important to understand fermentation. In nowadays, we have been living with it all of our lives. And I always say the best thing in life are made with fermentation, like
beer,
chocolate,
wine,
coffee, beer, wine, bread. So, what else do you need for living? Cheese. So let's fermentate as well our own stuff, guys. So the first step is pickling the coriander seeds. Here, maybe is you can use coppers, you can use olives if you cannot do this step. Here I do it, and I want to show in like I do, because to know like the roots of the... Once you know the roots, once you know the basis of a recipe, you can change ingredients, you can substitute, knowing what, why is that ingredient there? Like, why is the lemon there to add acidity? Oh, so maybe I can change it with vinegar, maybe I can change it with another kind of acids, but you need to know the role that an ingredient plays in a recipe.
Chemically talking as well.
So here, the pickled coriander seeds, the pickled, they play this role in acidity, also in this crunchy texture, like floating in your mouth. So you need to pick them very fresh. I do this because I have this coriander plant in my house. So I always have these seeds. So I pick them. I make my own cucumber ginger vinegar. So if you want, we can talk about the recipe later. Or you can just use any vinegar you want. If you can find cucumber vinegar or something very fresh, just go for it. Just take half and half, like one cup of vinegar, half cup of sugar. You boil this mix, and then you pour it in a jar with the coriander seeds. Wait for it to cool, and then. Closing the jar and wait for 1 week and let let the mix do its magic.
So basically, like they mix the coriander with boiled vinegar and sugar. Like you need to boil sugar and vinegar together, and then you can basically put coriander seeds inside, and then you're making the vinegar kind of, right? Is it the same for cucumber and ginger? Like can they put everything together, or will it be too much?
What I do for, no, you can do it. Yeah, you can put cucumbers there and vinegar. Even if you don't want to make the vinegar yourself, like fermenting your cucumber and your ginger juice and everything, you can take just white vinegar, and together with the seeds, put coriander and put ginger, fresh ginger, as you say. So this is a very nice way
Yeah, because
to
at the
go
end you're
through.
not actually eating the vinegar either. Like I think that you're gonna eat what is in the jar, like as a ingredient, because I hardly know anyone eating drinking vinegar out of the pickled. Except for Russians, except for Russians and like my parents as well. We make pickled tomatoes, but they drink that. To that juice, that water, which is crazy, and they drink it after they drank, like during hangover.
Oh, nice. That's a good
Yes,
remedy,
yeah, that's the best best remedy that my
no?
dad always told me. In case one day.
I will try. I will try. But I guess when you make a vinegar at home, I think it's not that the flavor is not that strong. I think it's more rich in flavor, but it's not that acidic. I think it's mild.
Yeah, I believe that because vinegar from industrialization has such a big, like, it has to be acidic because of the standards from the market.
Yeah, and you need to have a good shelf life, so you need to last long. So yeah, you make this pickled. Even you can use the pickled cucumbers or the gingers in the recipe, just like maybe chopping them. The ginger, you have to chop it very very finely, like Brunoise, so you can taste it, but it's not very invasive to your mouth. Then for the ceviche. For the ceviche, you have to cut the fish as fresh as you can get it. Then you mix it with the onion. You mix it with the onion and the cucumber. You squeeze directly the lime there. You need to be careful. And I didn't want to put like specific quantities of lime here because lime is different everywhere.
Everywhere, yeah.
So yeah, you need to balance. You need to maybe some squeeze two or three lemons, three limes, sorry, and then try, and then balance with the
You
salt.
know how kind of I look at what I have, and I'm like, how many people are gonna eat this one? And then you're like really like dosing it, like by thinking, how much can a person eat? How much will it be likable for a person to have? Like, and for me, like even drops of lime actually change dishes. You don't need to actually like put a cup, because then maybe a cup is too much, because lime can be so strong. Just like a few particles, the acid part of the lime is making the job for cutting and softening the taste of the fish at the end, and the onions. It's like you just need a little bit. It's not that you need to have a lime taste over the fish, because then it will be bad. You may have.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. And the structure of the fish starts to change as well. It becomes chewy and yeah. Trouble, disaster. But yeah, then you balance it with the salt as well. You balance the acid with the salt, and on the other side you make your sauce, which is basically avocado, coriander, then chili, and that's it. So you will get like a guacamole, let's say, like this, right? So you will get a very creamy ceviche. The lime here also serves like to blend all the flavors. So avocado is very creamy. It has good fat content mm-hmm. as well. So you need the lime. And it's a ceviche. I mean, ceviche is lime. So yeah, you will get it like this. So it's basically that. And then you mix the fish with the sauce, like dosing, that you won't get it very creamy, very acidic. Like the I don't like to use a lot of quantities in my recipes, because all the ingredients are different each time. A tomato is not the same all the time.
Yeah, that's true.
Even there are many kinds of tomato. The avocado can be different. The chili, you know, here in Mexico, sometimes we have these chilies, same size, same color, same species. I don't know. But then you try one, it's like, oh man, chilies are not good. Why? They are not that spicy. So, yeah, no, man. Well, no. Pass me one. Yeah, take this, man. The other guy, bite. Man, this is crazy, bro. So I cannot say one chili or two chilies. Or
yeah, just add how much it goes there. Like, if it's spicy, add half of it.
yeah, definitely. And maximum. If you're cooking, just try everything. Try the lime, try the avocado, try, and you will have a nice result at the end.
Yeah.
Try.
So, and then, like, you have this, it's nice because it's raw fish. It's straight out from the water. Yeah. And you're suggesting to eat it with totopos or nachos or tostadas, yeah? Which,
yeah, whatever you can get with some corn.
Yeah, it's corn based. Like, it's like you're Mexican, of course. You have corn, so
yeah.
But
we love corn.
I would say that maybe a tostadas for a nice plate would be nice, because I would consider this as a entree.
Yep. An intro.
Like, it's an intro, or either a regular tapas in Spain, but yeah, it's a nice, fresh, not too invasive. You can drink it with a nice. I will even put like a Chardonnay here.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Like
you got it. You know, a normal ceviche, I would pair it with some Sauvignon Blanc or something like this, Sauvignon Gris, but this is very creamy.
Yeah.
And it's a bit oily, yeah, fatty, because the fish is fatty as well. Even if you use the belly, so you will get
big consistency, yeah,
definitely. So yeah, it goes perfect with the Chardonnay.
Mm-hmm. Then you want to talk about the mussels and fish paella?
Yeah, definitely.
Like, teach us how to make a paella, because I went, after you told me about, after you showed me the recipes, I went to look for what is this rice he is talking, like the bomba rice, no? Because
yeah.
I was ignorant on this topic. Like, tell us what and why you put just bomba rice in your paella.
I was as well, because paella is like, it's like tacos, it's like sushi, it's like pizza, you know, like we know it, but we don't really know it.
Yeah.
So I knew it until I went to Spain, to be honest. And the first thing that I have to say, paella, the most traditional one is from Valencia region.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing that I have to say, paella is the name of the this pan where you make it. The second thing that I have to say is, it doesn't have to be full with rice. It has to be a layer, like of, I don't know, 1 centimeter of rice. If you want to make one grain next to another, it's the best rice possible, right? But I mean, it's for one people, and it's not very efficient. But yeah, so this is paella. Next thing, paella doesn't need a lot of stuff in it. There are many ways of doing it. Here in Mexico, they always like to bring together fish and
abundance.
Chicken and ribs and like sausage, mussels and clams and everything. This very jello rice cooked in the Mexican style, like very fluffy rice, which paella is not like this. Paella is not fluffy. The rice, this is the most popular rice in Spain and outside Spain. I mean, I have seen it here in Mexico many times. I buy it here in Mexico. The bomba rice is round shaped rice. What is it round? The rice is a whole science, right? You have this long grain rice, like basmati, like the one that you get with Indian food. We have this medium round, which is the normal one. And then we have this round. What you have in round is, for example, the rice for the risotto is a round grain. So it's arborio or carnaroli, because they absorb flavor. They absorb flavor, they absorb liquids, and they grow a lot, all right? They grow, but they are not fluffy. They are a bit smashy. It depends on how you want to do it. So in Spain, they just call it arroz, which is rice. The paella is the rice that is made in this flat pan. So if it's not in that one, you cannot call it paella. It's just rice, which is good for them as well. They just go to a restaurant and it's like, yeah, give me one creamy rice, or give me one brothy rice or something like this, or bring me a paella. Normally paella is for two people. If we have a big one, we can make it from four, which is what I'm doing here.
Come on, in Ibiza, I was eating for 10 people. They were bringing me the huge thing with 5 centimeters of rice.
Exactly.
What is that?
Yeah, it's, I don't know what is it. But anyways, if you have bomba rice, it's better. If you don't get bomba rice, because bomba is, it means that it comes from Spain. So
yeah.
It's like an appellation of origin. So you can get any round grain rice that you can find.
Something that absorbs a lot of water. Like,
yeah.
This is the thing. Yeah, I went through the documents, and it's because the bomba rice is special because there is more amylose inside, and basically it allows more water to go in. Which makes it like I think the name is right because of this bomba, because it's like it's become so much bigger. Like if you, so you have to buy bomba rice if you want to make a paella, a good one.
Yeah, bomba rice or round rice, because here what we have to understand is paella. At the end, you have no broth, you have just the rice.
No. All inside.
So,
all the broth you made.
All the flavor is there. Yeah, goes to the air. There are different rices, as I told you before, with different amounts of broth, which is also good for people in Spain. But paella is, they call it also dry rice.
Mm-hmm.
Like dry rice, you know, it's in paella because you have no broth. So part of the broth goes to the air, to the space. And the other one remains inside the bomba, as you say, like bomb containing all this flavor,
yeah.
Right? So what we need to do here is to first we start with the broth. This is very typical from Alicante, where I was living. Some people put a lot of like chicken first, like they sear the chicken and they sear the ribs or something like this. They get all the flavor there. And then they put water, which is also good because you have vegetables, you have meats and everything. So you make your own broth inside the paella. You don't have to make it in a part. This is a way of doing it. This real paella valenciana is made in this way. But you have a lot of protein. You have a lot of stuff there. So here, what I prefer to do is to make the broth in the other side.
A fish broth.
So a fish broth. Yeah, if you have other seafood, you can put it. I love to put some crabs in it. Sometimes in the restaurants, you know, you have these lobster heads. Oh. So wow, when I have them,
wow, you can roast. They just go. You roast them. Like, yeah. I saw that you are suggesting to put them in the oven.
Yeah, if you roast them in the oven, you get incredible results.
We
used to do it this way.
Yeah, like we were. I was told to teach to actually just put it in the pan. Olive oil, put it there, let it roast.
Yeah.
A little bit. They give a lot of heat, and then add everything.
Yeah, that's also good.
Not boil it. Not to boil it. That's important. Like, not to boil it immediately.
No, not to boil it. No, you want to create this roasted flavor, Maillard reaction, and everything. It's with fish. It's a bit difficult because you don't have this flat surface
okay.
of the fish that it's in touch with the pan. So you can get some parts a bit burned and some other parts never touch the pan. So they get steamed, basically.
Yeah.
So yeah, for best results in the oven.
Mm-hmm.
I have done this before. If you have a grill, you can grill them as well.
Sure.
So you have this smoky flavor in your mm-hmm. broth, which is incredible.
It's going to make it unique, definitely. And then all this umami taste, all this Maillard reaction chain taste, like this.
Exactly.
It's gonna go in the bomba rice.
Yeah. It's, yeah, because it's a very clean paella. It doesn't have many things. So if you make your broth very complex, you will have a nice paella. So what I do always is just olive oil. Put all the vegetables there, like big pieces.
Yeah,
there's no problem. Then pan fry them until they are brown on the outside. Then you put the bones, the heads. If you have, you need to see what you use as well, because your broth can be as greasy as you want. It has it can have a lot of collagen, so this will affect directly to your paella. If it is very greasy, it will like fry the rice. It will fry the rice at the end. This is nice sometimes. I will explain you later. Mm-hmm. If it's a lot of collagen, it will take more time for it to evaporate, and you will have this a bit mushy rice. So you need to, as I said, try. You can say, well, my broth is lighter, so maybe I will have to use more on the rice. It depends.
There are also,
right? If you use the head, you will have a lot of collagen. If you just use like the flesh or some muscles or this, you will get less. What is important. Then your broth has to be hot at all times. Well, I will explain the procedure in this one because I think it's important.
Yeah.
First, cut all the vegetables in mirepoix. In a large pot, add oil and stir all the vegetables except the tomato until getting a nice brown color.
Cut everything like really thin, like kind of thin, but is in a nice shape. Like, explain the mirepoix, because.
Mirepoix is like the most, how can I say it? The less careful cut, let's say like this. We use it for broths, basically. So in broths, you know, you just need to have your vegetables all the same size. They don't need to look
same size.
Nice, but same size. So they are big because you need to have this flavor of the, like a bit stir fried and everything, but they need to be fresh in the inside, especially the carrots, because the carrot is very aromatic. So you need to have freshness as well. If not, your broth is going to be very heavy, right? So especially if you roast your bones and everything. So there are mirror-sized pieces like, I don't know, 2 centimeters cubic. This is the perfect size. So you can have a good control of your vegetables. You can take your time. You can have this brown color, but still have some freshness of your vegetables.
You know what was one of the tips from one of my chefs cook? Take the onion, cut it in half, put it on the pan, on the grill. Let it like become brown and then put the half on the two half onions in the broth.
Yeah,
definitely. That's, if you have an onion, don't even like cut it like just put it, fry it like not fry it. Grill it on the inside,
mm-hmm.
and then like that's supposed to make the whole broth taste better as well.
Wow, yeah, that's a nice one. A chef, your job is to take the best out of an ingredient. And vegetables are, amazing ingredients because they have a lot of flavors to develop, especially the onion. Right, this morning I was tasting an onion, and I was like, man, how this can be so aggressive at the beginning, raw, but then you just give some stir fried, and then you have very sweet and rich and crunchy texture. So how can you have these two phases of the same ingredient? So yeah, imagine if to have two of the same ingredient in one broth, and do the same with all the ingredients. So you will have the double of ingredients.
Yeah, like theoretically, like maybe even like grilling carrots before putting them in a broth, it will change drastically. I actually never tried like a grilled broth, you can call it actually. Yeah.
A grilled broth, yeah. I used to do it a lot in Corazón de Tierra. We had this, we love to cook with fire, but I was like, we had so much vegetables from the orchard. We got these very big cabbages. And what else did we have? Carrots all the time, this radish and all this stuff. So when we got very big ones, I was like, man, I want to roast that like whole. So just put it with some olive oil, and then cover it with aluminium foil.
Yeah.
And leave it there, or hang it like on top of the grill, so it can get smoked all day long. So yeah, you can use a lot of techniques to make your broth very, very rich. In Kika Acosta, we have a seafood broth, but we used to put also some chicken, some hen,
mm-hmm.
like to add it's richness. You didn't taste it at the end, but you were like, wow, man, why is this so different? It was like our secret ingredient. There was a broth that called for an old hen. I was like, what if the hen is not old enough?
But yeah, like, the broth is a key ingredient in all the kitchens. Let's start it like from this, and everyone is doing it, but with what they have, it's also like it's hard to say like a recipe for a broth. Come on, like just go out and buy stuff, and then like.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm.
Yeah, that's the most amazing of a broth. Like each home has its own original broth, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's nice. That's nice. At the end you put the tomato. You will have this nice acidity and freshness. This is why we put it at the end, because we don't want it very roasted. And then finally we add the fish. We add the heads or the whatever seafood you have there. If you have octopus, you can put octopus, whatever you want. then we add the water. We add the water and we boil slowly. Then we remove the white foam on top. This is like clarifying the broth. So we'll have a cleaner. Then we strain it and we keep it hot. We never put salt at this point because it's reducing all the time. So at the end, you will make your own calculations, but you will need to finish with 2 liters of broth. or a bit more if it's needed for the rice.
Like I believe that you need to feel how much intense is it.
That's
if
right.
If you put 1 kilo of fish bones, I think that it's gonna be really tasty at the end. So
yeah,
like for 400 grams of rice, I think, like as I said, 5 hours, it will like take the most out of it. Like all the water is gonna go away, and the water bonded with the fats will stay down in the. Water cannot bond to fats, but
yeah.
It's kind of what's happening, like minerals, all fibers, whatever, they will stay in the water. So leave it evaporate for as long as possible, and then you can prepare the paella.
Yeah.
How do you do
that? Yeah, that's right. Well, then to prepare that from this point, this procedure is very like you need to pay attention all the time. It's like risotto. You always need to be moving. So mm-hmm. This is for the paella at the beginning. Then you don't touch it. Like this is one of the major from the Spaniards. Don't touch your paella. So basically, you have your hot pan. If you don't have a paella, of course, you can make it in the biggest pan you have.
Yeah.
If you cannot leave a very thin layer of rice, there's no problem. You can also leave a bit more.
It would be just different, maybe because of the evaporation. I think the paella pan is allowing all the water to actually get through the rice.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. You can make also a creamy rice. They call it the meloso,
mm-hmm.
which is. In English, I don't know how to say it, but it's this like this creamy, but it's not, you don't cream it with cream or cheese like the risotto. There's just the cream of the reduced broth. So you just put more broth to the rice,
mm-hmm.
move a little bit, and then you have this very enjoyable rice, like risotto texture, right? If you don't want it dry, but paella is dry. So you have the pan, then you put the olive oil. Always olive oil. You put the prawns to get the flavor.
Mm-hmm.
Get the flavor and always have this Maillard reaction in the prawns as well. Okay, then.
So you put some fish before on the paella already, like to give the oil a little bit of the fish taste as well, and like to start the cooking process of the fish, which then eventually will go up, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, the fish cubes is the same size, like 1 centimeter for the ceviche. So if you use a non-stick pan, it would help a lot. To food to keep its shape, because it doesn't stick. So these cubes, you can manage them very very nicely. So this has to be very strong fire, because we don't want to cook them completely. We just want to sear them. The same happened with the prawns. So we have this seafood flavor already in our oil, which is important. We have to be generous with the oil. It's
Yeah.
You need to have good quantity of oil.
Olive oil is important not to be too greedy with it, because the breaking point of the temperature for the oil, the olive oil can get bad at 190, if I'm not. I don't remember, but it's one of the lowest temperature, so you need to have more because otherwise, like with a big heat. You can go over this point, and then like the oil actually breaks, and then it becomes everything becomes
combat.
So be careful with olive oil, like be generous with it, because we in Europe are actually very generous with olive oil. Like there's never too little of olive oil for us.
yeah, that's important. And this is why you have to be fast as well in this recipe.
Yeah.
So you cannot just let your oil there to burn. You just have to do quickly, because when you put your food in the oil, you regulate the temperature of the oil as well, right? With the fish, which is fresh, with, needs to be fresh, and then the prawns would need to be fresh, then you put the rice, so you regulate the temperature all the time. Well, after this, you put the rice. You need to be careful with the rice. If you can use a spatula, which is this like gummy spatula, like rubbery. You mix carefully with the pimenton. Pimenton is a very Spanish spice. It's like paprika. It's this okay. smoked, dried, and then blended pepper. So you have you can have spicy or hot, and you can have sweet. So these are two from Spain, pimenton. I think you can find it quite easily. Here in Mexico, you can find it easily.
Mm-hmm. It's a dehydrated paprika, kind of? Is it?
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
It is. Paprika is more sweet, that in my experience.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if there's more spicy paprika or more complex, but pimenton is not sweet all the times. If you choose it like this, it can be, but it's more, I don't know how to say it. For me, it's more rich. Like it's not to use like on your fries or on your potato chips.
No. It has to be reused in a rice in a watery kind. Like yeah, it makes sense. Like exactly. It's the red kind of body which you also want to give to the rice, because otherwise it becomes just like fish broth.
Yeah.
Colored.
Yeah, that's right. This is why we use the saffron as well. Talking about you were talking about the color, so we use also saffron.
Yeah, saffron.
Some people like to toast the saffron, but no. For this recipe, we just get it like this, like as fresh as possible. Then your rice will start to get these colors, these red, orange colors. You have to be careful with your rice. Move it gently. All right. And then once you see the rice changed its color, like it's a bit transparent already, we add the broth. The broth has to be boiling or very hot at all times. If you have space in your stove, you leave it boiling very, very slowly. We don't want to reduce a lot.
But it has to be close to the 100 degrees, let's say, like this.
Yeah. It has to be very hot because the paella needs to be boiling at all times.
Yeah.
All right. Then we add the broth to the paella. We add some salt at this point. Even you have to taste it and be like, okay, it needs a bit more. That's the point. Because again, it will reduce. And if you reduce something with salt, you will end up with just the salt, just the solids. So... yeah, we need to be careful at this point.
Yeah, I think it's a nice tip to actually put the salt when you are adding the broth, like when there is a lot of liquid already and the rice is there, because when the salt can get mixed well with the rice, it will become like liquid, and then like it will as soon as the water goes away, it will be in the whole dish. It will not.
Yeah.
So like the broth, right. It should be unsalted, that's a key, and then you just add the salt in the procedure, which I always do it as well, because I like to have a nice eye on salt, because and
nice control.
I have to say, my opinion is better less salt than too much. If someone is saying like, if I'm making a dish for someone and they are like, it's missing salt, I'm saying, good, thank you. It means that you like my dish. Like, like it really means like this. Like, salt is, just put a little bit, just a pinch for like, every person. That amount of salt is fine.
Yeah, that's right. You need to be very careful. You can always add. You can never take out. Right. So yeah, this is important in this part. So we put it in the in this point where we poured the broth over the rice. We mix it a little bit. We put the salt. We try, and we leave it boiling like hard, like a high fire for 7 minutes. All right. Then 10 minutes. I know 10 minutes at high fire at the beginning. Then 7 minutes. 7 minutes at medium fire.
Okay, 10 minutes really boiling hot.
And then seven, like medium fire.
So let's say like you need to check the rice when you put the rice in the pan. It has to become a little bit transparent. Then you can put the broth, the broth that you did. It has to be really hot. So like you add all the broth, kind of. You have like this liquid on top of the rice. You start mixing it, like you make it more even, right? Like you put the water under, and then like you turn the fire up. Like it has to be really boiling. You need to see the flame going through the like through the pan, kind of, right? And like from there, you can leave it. Do you need to mix it at this point? Like yeah, you definitely need to keep mixing it
No,
a little bit, no?
you just mix it at the beginning.
Okay.
Because when you put the broth, it's like the force of the broth like spreads the rice to one side. So you just move it around, and then the bubbling and everything will
Okay.
like
It will
spread evenly
create.
the
Okay,
rice.
but.
I don't know the physics behind this, but it happens.
It's
So you
a.
just move it. Just move it once. Just move your rice once,
Okay.
and then just leave the broth do its job. Then after that 10 minutes, you will see the rice like setting on the pan. At this moment, you add all your seafood, the seared the prawns and the seared fish. The mussels, you just add them clean because they will cook with the steam of the rice of the broth. So they will open and they cook with the steam because we have also 7 minutes left in our cooking process.
So,
So this was a good time for them to open very nicely.
I would say then that the bomba rice it should be like done in like 22 minutes, 20 minutes of cooking, 20, because like considering the initial like oil thing, yeah, okay.
Yeah,
Then
once you have the
the.
ingredients, it's a 20 minutes process.
And you're suggesting to put to be artistic with the fish. What would be your tips to make the paella like really amazing, like Instagrammable?
Instagrammable. I will just there's not too much there's not too many ways, but you just have to arrange all the seafood in the right way. I will send you a picture later, but especially with your prawns, what I do is always put them like looking to the inside. I don't know why, but they look nice. If you can keep the and I suggest this, maybe I didn't say it at the beginning, keep the prawns with their heads. I would do that
They are
because that
not,
gives
yeah.
a lot of
But
view.
at one point, like I can say, yeah, but I needed the heads for the broth, right?
Yeah,
Yeah,
you can use them for the broth.
first, like raise this thing, but if you, yeah.
But anyways, at the end you're using it in the broth,
Yeah.
right? Because they release all its flavors in these
Or you just
last
buy
7 minutes.
more prawns because there is enough. No, there is never too much prawns.
That's right. That's right, man. So yeah, just arrange your muscles very nicely. So when they open, you can see this orange flesh and very nicely, right? I mean, don't put everything on one side, or don't put one prawn over one muscle. I mean, maybe this is a bit obvious, but this is why I'm suggesting to get artistic, because if you take this time to arrange your seafood on top of your rice, you will get a better result. It will look better, but you will get better cooking of all your elements.
Yeah, for sure.
So it goes together. You know, there's a chef called Daniel Hum. He works in, well, he owns 11 Madison Park in New York. And he says, a dish in my restaurant has to be first delicious, then it has to be beautiful, then it has to be creative, and at the end, it needs to have a purpose. So to find a dish with these four elements is very important. And I think paella is it's a basic dish where you can find all of it, right? And sometimes they don't agree between each other. You can be very creative, but yeah, man, I mean, you're using these very creative ingredients and technique, but try it. I mean, it's not, it doesn't look good, right?
Yeah, so kitchen is trying. Like, we cannot expect to do everything right from the beginning. Like, we're not, but trying and doing our own food makes us realize,
yeah,
the purpose of life, actually. Like for a human, it's... Well, let's not forget about aioli.
For me, you cannot eat rice without aioli.
Yeah, you see? It's...
It's a very important part. Aioli basically means al, which means garlic. Ioli, which means oil. The most traditional aioli is just in this, I don't know how to say it, mortero in English.
Yeah, yeah.
You just mash the garlic, you just make the emulsion with the oil, and you have your aioli. It's very strong, man. It's very strong. Like,
mortar,
you eat it,
yeah.
And
garlic?
Mortar.
Yeah.
Garlic and olive oil and some salt. So you eat this, man, and your breath is... smelling like garlic for 1 week. So,
but what can we do? It's the one
of
the best.
What can we do?
No,
but
it's
the
like,
basic
it's
one.
I really like the garlic thing with like rice as well. Yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing. So I do this version of aioli, which is a bit more creamy. You can use more quantity.
Yeah.
With some bread and in your rice. You can mix it and make a more creamy paella. So this serves well for that. So it's basically one egg yolk,
yeah,
and one garlic. If you want this flavor of the garlic, but mild, what you can do is to take out the small stem in the middle, like cut it half wise,
mm-hmm.
And there's a small green. Like sprout.
Yeah,
Just take it away, and it's less spicy, less invasive. This flavor, so you have more garlic flavor, but it doesn't invade your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
So it's gentle. Yeah, that's right. If you want it even more gentle, you can confit your garlic.
Mm-hmm.
You can quickly blanch it. There are many ways, but it's good to have some garlic.
Yeah, especially for aioli with bread and paella. Come on, I want to dip that bread first in the aioli and then like grab like we do the ciabatta
right.
in Italy, grab everything with the bread.
So. Yeah, fresh garlic is better for me. So then we blend this with some pinch of salt. Then we have this puree. We start adding olive oil like a thread.
Yeah.
Very, very slowly. So then we can add 1 liter of olive oil if we want. But this is why we need to be trying once we have this desired texture like creamy, like mayonnaise.
Yeah.
So we are our aioli is ready. What I do sometimes, to add more freshness to it, I add some lemon.
Definitely.
Definitely.
Always, especially in the mayonnaise, which we do at home. It has to, like, because like, yes, it's tasty, but it's at the end it's like either egg, oil, grass, oil, and then like I believe the garlic is gonna be really strong, but we need some like human taste, kind of like some something
You need
which
to
is
balance.
yeah
Yeah,
backing it up.
definitely. Definitely. Acidity is very important in cooking. You mentioned earlier René Redzepi. He released a book on ferments from Noma, and he says that the fermentation wave in this restaurant started because they wanted to add acid to everything, right? So, but they don't wanted to use lemon on everything. So they started to get creative, and they use vinegar or these ferments in every dish they make at that restaurant. Even if you don't perceive it at first, but it will be there, like even in the front line or behind, like balancing the whole dish. So acidity is very, very important.
Yeah, it is. It helps the every dish. Well, I think, Freddy, we are having like already dishes ready to be cooked. We talked about how to work in restaurants. We talked about why we worked in restaurants.
Yeah, the why.
The why, which is important.
The
And
big one.
I hope that we learn some new tips, some we discuss finally like on some topics on why something is happening, why not. It was a very, very nice call, like getting your inputs, like listening to the experience, to questions why, how, come. This was really interesting from me and Freddy, really.
Ah, for me as well, man. Like, it's always nice to talk to passionate people from the hospitality industry, restaurant industry, because you understand all the work behind some creations and the importance of service. I think people like you, it's always important for this industry to keep growing. People needs help in understanding. Things are changing very, very quickly. So we need people like you who guide people through this process. Because I mean, you won't go from zero to the most complex wine, or from zero to the most complex flavors of truffle or foie gras or vinegars or things like this. But we need someone to tell us that everything is gonna be okay, like that this is a process, like to help us to try new things, and people need this kind of stuff. Like people, customers who end up saying like, "I never tried this before, but I tried it now and I loved it." Like oysters, like foie gras, like wines as well, many things. But there needs to be people like you that knows how to take the best out of these products and show them to people. To get in love with them, not to hate them or fight them, right? Like you will not give the most complex wine to a new wine drinker because they will hate it. And this is why many people hate. They hate wine, they hate coffee, and they drink their wine with ice, and they love sweet wines and everything because the first thing they tried, it was not the right thing. So we need guides. Definitely, we need guides. We need people who understand people needs and who understand the products and the good quality, man. So thank you.
It was a nice chat with someone who is also so passionate about this industry. And Freddy, I hope that you're gonna be up for some new recordings one day, because we need people like you, definitely. Like, we'll see how this will go, because the idea behind it is actually to call some chefs, because now they are not working. Best scenario. Just let them come here and let them talk the same way I did with you. I will definitely like you were like a test, I have to say.
Yeah.
And it went brilliant. Like we have so much context now, the context, like we can. I'm gonna cut this episode probably in two parts. One like about you, and then the part about the dishes. I will try to do some editing on them, like I'll put background noises, but ooh, this is
Yeah,
cool.
sure, man.
This is cool.
I can't wait to see the result, man. I've never done this before, actually, but I think it will be very nice, and this is you're doing a very good job, and people need to know all these things. As you said, we touched many topics where you can get more profound on them, maybe with different chefs who knows better than me about fermentation, who knows about the broths or layers of fish, seafood, or have worked in more restaurants. So this is a very, very rich topic. And I mean, we eat every day. We eat 3 times a day. So we cannot ignore the role that food and beverages plays in our lives
We need
and
to
how,
be aware.
yeah,
We need
we
to.
need to be aware,
Yeah.
definitely. It needs to be part of us, right? We all should need to know how to farm, how to make ferments, how to make our own food, how to manage with some food waste or remainings. But it will not happen from overnight, right? So
It's a process. Unfortunately, I really hate the food industry, kind of, because that's what they did. They tried to cover the demand. It's not their fault. Actually, we couldn't develop so much in the last 50 years if they wouldn't have developed so much in the food thing. But I also have a strong belief in the short chain, and because I come from a place where we have a short chain in food in Italy. We really like are sustainable, kind of. We show it, like we cook everything that is around us, so we can do that. Obviously, cut down the meat. Unfortunately, that will be necessary, but we'll talk about this on another episode. Thank you for
Nice.
listening, and see you. Ciao.